Well, it's great, great to have you all back. Now, just before we begin, I wanted to give my email. Some had wanted it, and I just asked you don't give it out to everyone and to every solicitor. But what would be special to me is if over the next few months, if you had something you'd like to share, maybe some way that, well, whether how this weekend may have made a difference in your life, or something, the decision maybe you've made as a result of this weekend, I don't know. If you'd want to, that's great. My email's very simple. It's all lowercase. What's... I don't know if I would want it on the website. No, because then everyone in the world can see it. No, it's simple.
What we'll do is each of the group leaders, I believe, is going to be sending out an email with the contact information for your small group.
That's the better way then.
And we'll ensure that each of the group leaders includes Reverend Warren's email in that contact.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. They're not good anyway, so don't worry about it. No. Okay, so we're gonna continue on. I know we're already over time, and we have to. How tight is the time to get into the lunch, Greg? Does it matter? 12 o'clock is still the time.
Officially, it's 12:15.
Okay.
Army with the emphasis on Army.
So we have 1 hour to do it all. Okay, Rod.
Earlier you mentioned that you're working on your doctorate.
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind just, I'm interested just hearing maybe 30 seconds, 1 minute of what's going on with you, where are you at?
Okay, I'm in my thesis stage, or just ready to start writing the thesis stage. The Doctor of Ministry, the process in most places is you do a project once you get to the thesis stage, and then you write about the project. My project will be... our youth group, some of the youth group, we have a core members of our youth group, and most of them are, well, all but one does not belong to the parish. They're from outside the parish. But they're seeking something. They're now getting involved in some worship, music, and prayer on the Tuesday evenings when they gather. And they're seeking something. So I'm going to have them put together some questions, that burning questions that they would like to ask people like you, the seniors in my parish, which we have a few, people of faith, people of experience, what would you like to ask them, if you had a chance to ask one question, about their walk with Christ, about their faith in the church, why is church important to you, why is Christ and God important to you, whatever it is, they design the questions, okay? And then there are going to be a couple of them who will be going with, whether it's their phones or an actual video camera, to go and interview between 6 to 8 seniors. And it's then one of our other seniors will be helping them put together the video. And then the youth are going to watch the video and reflect on it. So the whole point of it is, how does sharing of story or narrative have any impact, or does it? That's the part of a thesis. Does it have any impact on growing the faith of our young people? But even beyond just young people, you could extend it out to anybody. But in this case, it's specifically the young people. So it's not about learning creeds. It's not about sitting down in a class and studying a book. It's about learning from people's faith journeys. And is there a correlation that makes a difference? The seniors themselves will have a chance to watch the video, and there'll be a gathering together. Part of what I'm hoping to get out of it is also some mentorship, maybe some relationship building. My parish has had some issues over the years with youth, and I'm trying to break down barriers also. So part of this is a barrier breaking down, relationship building, and faith building. And then starting in January, I will start writing on this based on the process we have for my DMIN. And I'm hoping by next fall around this time to defend the thesis. So it's about faith development, growth. Yep.
And you hand it in to what school?
Oh, sorry, Virginia Theological Seminary, which is the oldest seminary, Episcopal or Anglican, in the United States.
this just seemed like the right time to mention that Flame has a tradition of giving our speakers an honorarium. And before I do that, how many gentlemen agree that this is the man whose life epitomizes looking for God's will, being transformed, and following God's will, which is perfect for his life, and still doing that?
Amen.
And when I asked Warren, I told Warren about the honorarium, he said, "What? In addition to the blessing of being here, you're actually going to offer me money?" And we said, "Yeah, because it's paying forward." And so I know that some of this honorarium undoubtedly is going to go into your youth ministry.
Yes. Thank you, Greg. Thank you. And again, thank you all for being part of my continued journey.
Statement to make here. I was up bringing my luggage out of the room, and one of the ladies up there that services our rooms, she was saying, "I look forward so much for this weekend, to work this weekend, to be around the men, the godly men. I wish my daughters could be here to see these godly men worshiping together in spirit and in mind and in common belief. If more children had access to you and your folks here, our children and on the streets wouldn't have the disarray and the confusion they've got now."
Amen. Wow, praise God on that, eh?
Her name is Kim, so if you haven't got your luggage off the third floor, make sure you say, "De Coloris to it."
Wow, that's great. Okay. Well, we are on a tight time here, so we're going to have to reduce a bit of the plenary time. But what I'm hoping is maybe there's some creative person here who can take the points and whatever we have today, maybe just write them down, and for those who want them, to email them out, something to remind you of maybe some thoughts. I don't know if you do that or not, but it's an option, I guess, that could be done. You can grab a picture. You can grab a picture and put it on the website. There you go. Okay, so quickly, Some main things that came out of this last session, and I think we'll have to keep it to maybe 20 minutes at the most, Greg, maybe? Okay. Yep.
I experienced this weekend, it was very interesting. I experienced an aha moment, not an epiphany. But my minister usually likes dropping in a sermon. He doesn't do a straight one. He'll give you a pebble. So I'm going to leave you with a pebble. I had done, 2 weeks ago, I was doing the second reading, and it was 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 to 10. And it struck me, as we were going on, that it echoed what we are doing with Romans 1 and 2. So I did a little bit more thinking about it, and I approached Warren this morning, just before breakfast, and I spent an interesting and an enlightenment of which came first. Now, I don't want to spoil, we're going to leave you with this. Look up 1 Thessalonians 1, look at this, and then see where I'm coming with on this reading. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I'll give you a hint.
Don't spoil it.
No, I'm going to give you one.
Don't spoil it. Thessalonians.
Written in 51.
Yeah.
Romans.
Thessalonians. Thessalonians. It's 1 Thessalonians he wrote. Yeah. It was the reading from last week, right?
The Thessalonians I did was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Second reading on Sunday.
Okay. Thessalonians.
Sorry, was Thessalonians 1?
Was Thessalonians 1, 1 to 10, you said?
Thessalonians 1, 1 to 10.
1 to 10. Yeah. Okay. Next.
Just something to touch on what Father Warren was mentioning about. I attend St. Margaret's Church, and I knew it was storefront. I had no idea that it was that close to not even happening.
It was to be closed.
Yes.
But people don't know that story as much. I hold the narrative.
But as you were speaking of and everything about that willingness to continually transform and follow, like, you know, God, and if you hadn't have done that, even though a bishop was discouraging you, I mean, now St. Margaret's has grown to we're actually now going to be breaking ground to build a wing.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for being that beacon for us in faith and following the Lord.
Thank you, Alan. Bless you. But it just goes to show you, all of you have the opportunity to be faithful. And sometimes it means suggesting something that others may think is like, no, why, what's that all about? Why would you even think of that? But discernment may direct you in some way that breaks out of the ordinary, right? It's that not conforming part. I could have easily said when I heard that, well, they want to close St. Margaret's, I could have gone, oh, okay, I guess it's sort of dead in the water. Well, I'll look for something else that's maybe going to be more secure and pay me more or whatever. But I felt drawn to do something there because I felt God had a plan for that church plant. So we don't know. And some of you may, as I'm talking, be thinking of stuff that perhaps you need to address that God is directing you to.
If the men of God would just rise up and do what we're called to do, that's going to change the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was just thinking that when you were talking about renovations, when we do renovations of a house, it gets very messy.
Oh, yes, it does.
But when it's done, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So renovation work can be messy, especially drywall. Boy, I'll tell you. But you find the dust continues for like ever. But God working on us can be messy too. And it's very hard to go through that. So that's why a lot of people don't want to. Because they know, like, again, just that example of renovation. The minute you say to someone, well, why don't you consider renovating your place? Because they're, you know, they'll talk about, oh, it's run down, it's old, I need or maybe I need a little more space. You say, what about renovation? And right away, the image of all that's involved, for cost aside, you know, they'll go, no, forget it. Well, when you talk about someone becoming a Christian, if they have any inkling of what's involved in that transformation, they don't want to do it. You know, or maybe they started and they've stumbled. And they say, no, it's just not for me. And they'll come up with all excuses in the world. Yet the finished product, as you just said, can be very beautiful and is beautiful. Right. Next, quickly.
Group two, a warning. Be very careful when you pray the prayer that I prayed some years ago. And that was, Lord, I'm ready to go anyway.
Lord, be careful what you pray for. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Within, I guess it was about 9 months before I finally settled down. And what happened was I settled it down on a house in exactly the same street that I'd left 3 years before.
Well, isn't that amazing? But that's also, but on the spiritual side, that's also a risk.
Yes.
When you pray for God to use you and to change you and to stretch you, there's a risk in that. There's risk. Next group, any other group?
The challenge of discerning that really is God's will.
Discerning whether it's God's will. And that is hard, because sometimes we're not sure and we struggle. We struggle. And again, it might be looking back that we actually know that it was God's will. You could see that God's hand was in that. But it's hard to discern God's will. And I struggle, my current parish. So I've been there, 9 years and a bit now. I didn't want to go, Dave. I didn't want to go because St. Margaret's was my baby. I built it, literally, built the building. The bishop of the area at the time called me and said, well, I want you to put your name in there. I said, no. Called me again a few weeks later, why don't you put your name in there? No. The third time, I had to say, to myself, and Annette and I prayed about it. Well, is it just because I don't want to go because of change and all those things? Is it time to go? Is this God's will? And it was a tough decision because I was going from a very young, active parish to one that was a very different parish, older in demographic, more traditional. We had screens, you know, at St. Margaret's and praise group and all that stuff, to a very different group.
Yeah.
And it was a huge change and risk. Would I even fit into there if I went there? So how do we...
7 years.
9 years. 9 years.
Nine years.
Oh,
it goes fast.
Yes, it does.
I remember that 2 years yeah. You were waiting.
But the thing is, how do we... Discerning God's will does take a lot of prayer. And prayerful discussion with other faithful people.
Amen.
That's the other side. Although sometimes you get conflicting thoughts. Oh, yeah, you should go do that. Oh, yeah, you should not go do that. So it ultimately comes down to, do I feel compelled? Is this really what God wants of me? And again, if it is, then it will produce whatever God is wanting to have happen. But it may only be later that you can look back and say, yeah, God had a hand in this. And it, you know, sorry?
And that's a two-part prayer. You've got to pray, dear Lord, open the door if it's meant to be, and close it decisively if it's not.
That's right. Open it if it's meant to be, but close it if it's not meant to be.
You've got to pray the two-part.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Any other? What? Mike?
Just one thing that this weekend for me and for many of us is kind of a spiritual refueling for the rest of the year.
Mm.
I myself had a little bit of a twist through the transformation process and the renovation this weekend, in that perhaps our role as we leave here may be just a little bit more than to comfort the afflicted, but maybe to afflict the comfort.
So part of the part of it might be not so. For those who couldn't hear, not just give comfort to the afflicted, but maybe afflict the comfort, the comfortable, right? The other way around.
I'll keep it brief, which, as you know, sometimes I have trouble doing. Last March, I had, because over the years I have had arthritis, which destroyed cartilage. Okay, so last March I had this knee. 10 years ago was the best. This knee replaced. Okay, and you know, the waiting times and stuff took a long time. Okay, so maybe this right knee was going to be December, January, who knows what it was. So if you're going to be December, I'll call and say, we got a cancellation. You want it?
Yes.
So that gave me 4 weeks to be working properly in order to be here. And I really wanted to come very selfishly because, we make some good music, but I'll tell you, we musicians got a lot more out of it than you get from receiving it. So I came and I said, each year I come to Flame, I don't know if I'm coming to get or whether I'm coming to give. Last night, I got a really great gift at supper time. My wife and I deal with a group run by the Mennonite Church called Circles of Support. It's designed for men and women who have been incarcerated. Then they come back out and they need to kind of maybe get a job, get some food, get some support, get a life, and get back on the right track. You know, the stuff the government is supposed to do, that whatever. And we go to a group called Dismas, which is a group of people that did a dinner every couple of weeks. And there's about 50, 55 people there, some volunteers, some people who are ex-convicts, ex-prisoners. You don't know who it is. We don't wear labels. And we go there, and the idea is to go and make a friend. Okay, you go talk to them, and they have a real friend outside maybe the circles of people they had before, and just share as a regular person might, share a meal, talk to them, big friend. So sometimes we bring a couple back to our house who their family, whatever, has kicked them out, whatever else, so we just have it for dinner or something. So last night I sat down for dinner, and I recognized the guy across the table from me, and you know, if you get to see people in a different kind of context, you can't remember who they are. I said, I know you. He said, well, yeah, my Lord, this was, so do you. This guy had been in prison for 2 or 3 years. His boss kept his job for him. He occasionally stands up and talks about his space and growing. And, you know, and a lot of people do, because it's not a... It is run by the Mennonites, and we talk about faith and God and stuff like that. He makes a testimony oftentimes. And there he was sitting across the table from me. Now, a lot of these guys are still under strong restrictions if it's a long-term parole or probation or something. And he had to call 7 o'clock. He had to check in downtown with his whatever. But he made it up here with somebody else. And there he was sitting across the table. And we know each other fairly well, just I didn't recognize his face. But my goodness, an amazing thing, just by sharing who you are as a Christian and a man and talking to other men and stuff. So I really want to encourage what the message has been this weekend. What's our job to do? Well, spread who we are. Help other people if they can come. And I just said to him, I'm not saying any names, hey, next time you want to come, next year or something, my car's always got a seat in there for you. And if we, a lot of those guys there have not only no money, but they're like below zero and all that kind of stuff. We can help them out, give a little bit of hope. So you never, don't pre-qualify before you talk to somebody, because you never know. God does. And I sat last night and said, holy smokes. Look at that. I didn't expect that to happen. If I said, oh, my knee hurts too much this week, I wouldn't have got that gift. And I came back, too, and I talked to somebody else a year or two ago, and we sat and chatted, and they said, well, we got a chance to sit down and talk, but what you said made a difference. I said, me? What did I say? Well, I don't know. And I said, oh, my knee hurts too much. I would have never got that. I wasn't looking for the gift.
Praise
Jesus.
Oh, Martin wanted to summarize. You wanted to summarize? Well, you got it? Just be willing to share your life testimony. And I would say, and don't take for granted anything.
No.
Don't take for anything for granted would be maybe a sort of a little extra there. Maybe one more from a group. Just again, just because of our timing.
Strikes me as thinking about and seeing the image, and I want to really commend whoever came up with this image, the sign. I think it's an image we all should keep in our heads and in our minds as we continue on our journey. Coincidentally, we got up talking about GPSs and directions and so on this morning, where are we going and following directions and how we get misled. And as our indigenous brothers and sisters, you know, in the culture follow you, Signs are very
right.
big. You
know, signs are very big, yeah.
Where they are led to. And for me, that's extremely, you know, that's a visual that a sign that we put in our heads and follow that circle for time to come. And constantly being reminded of us being transformed. Mm. Thank you.
You know, I think... Speaking of GPSs, we had GPSs long before the mechanical ones. People had Jesus on the dashboard of their cars. Yeah. Oh, anyway, that's a groaner. Okay. Unless there's any burning things, we need to get rolling. And we did sort of change up things where we went right from the talk into the coffee and plenary. And we'll just continue on. We have the creed, prayers, peace, and then we'll go on. Continue on.
Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I guess that's the end of the sermon for the website.
Thank you.